Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
I'm telling you, folks, Kate Brown is running for some higher office, and her own words indicate that. In that little old unconstitutional executive order that she signed yesterday. Welcome to Political Coffee, folks. All of this is important because it affects your life, and that's why we talk about it over a cup of coffee. It's great to have you with you. I am your host, former State Representative Jeff Krupp. It is an honor, and it really is, an honor for me and a privilege for me to spend an hour with you in the morning, and then when we replay this in the afternoon, and now that I think I'm finally moved into my new digs, getting my podcasts up to snuff, I promise I will, folks. I do promise I will. Now, we're going to talk just briefly about this executive order in a couple of things, because it does indicate that Kate Brown is running for some higher office. She's not done, folks. And yesterday I alluded to a story that I thought was really important, and that is this healthcare business. And this may be more than one particular show that we talk about these things. It's because it is the socialist message, right, that Kate Brown and the regressive totalitarian Marxists in Oregon have been preaching for a long time, that they've not yet been able to quite get there because Obamacare was going to do it all, right? Wrong. We're going to talk about how this impacts your life, because this is how you persuade persuadables to change your world. This is how we change Oregon, friends. A lot of bad things have happened here, but some great things have happened too. Like the Republicans walking out. So I got a question for you on that. Do you think that Republicans walking out not once, but twice, but three times now in the last year is going to help Republicans walk out in other blue states? Should Republicans walk out in other blue states? I mean, it is a successful strategy, because what it's forced Kate, Queen Kate, Governor Queen Kate to do is to, well, to rule by edict, called executive order, that she does not have the constitutional power to do. At least some of it, I don't think she does. And clearly, Herman Bertziger, the Republican Senate leader, who said he's not running again. I mean, he said this numerous times, that she does not have all this going to end up in courts. And it should. But we, the people, can use it. You and I can use it in what she is doing, sidestepping and doing an end run, as the news media has said, around the Republicans who are standing up constitutionally. She's doing that. We're going to talk about how all of this plays in, and how do you think Bernie Sanders is going to do in Oregon when we finally get to our primary, which is in May. Yeah, it may all be over by then, but you know, Bernie and the Bernie bros are doing pretty well in Seattle. But how about the rest of the state? And how about, are there enough moderate Democrats in Oregon to not let the Bernie bros overtake everything that's going on? And that relates to socialism, right? Medicare for all, the whole socialist move that we're headed to. Are you worried about coronavirus? You probably should take care. I mean, there's a lot of news stories about that today. You just need to take care, especially if you are, well, someone like my parents. Both of my parents are well into their 80s. They are, both of them have health problems, and you know, they're susceptible to this, and they need to be extremely careful. And I need to be careful that when I'm around them, that I'm not necessarily having exposed to myself. Now, just quickly, at the bottom of the hour, we have a Republican candidate running for office who joins us. Jack Esp is a great great candidate. He's running in House District 21, which is a lot of the Salem area here. He's also a member of our Oregon Citizens Lobby. He shows up at the War Room every, literally every Thursday that we have a War Room going. And, of course, we're not going right now because we only do War Rooms, Oregon Citizen Lobby War Rooms, during the legislative session. Jack's been very, very good at being there. He helps run it, and we're very grateful for that. He's a candidate, Republican candidate. We're going to talk with him at the bottom of the hour, Jack Esp. So this segment of the show is brought to you by our friends at Diamond Royalty Rides. Make somebody feel special by going to their website, DiamondRoyaltyRides.com, and hiring a limousine. You know, it really is, if you've never done it, you need to. It is really like flying first class. It makes you feel special. And you know, if you've got a special occasion coming up, it's worth it. It's not that expensive. It's surprisingly affordable. Go to DiamondRoyaltyRides.com. All right, so I started the show by saying that the governor's executive order here in Oregon has never been done the way she has never been done by any governor anywhere. Her goal is to achieve the same quote-unquote goals of cap and trade without the trade. Except that these goals are very different. And in fact, the truth of it is, was stated in the story by Angus Duncan, who is the this man is a communist, folks. Just go back and do some research on Angus Duncan and you'll see that. Angus Duncan is the chairman of the Global Warming Commission here in Oregon. Well, he tells the true story, because what he says is that this I'm trying to find it here. There we go. Once again, I'm quoting now from this Oregonian story. You can see it on OregonWatchdog.com. Once again, Republican legislators have done their constituents dirt by replacing a more cost-effective and efficient way of reducing emissions. They've managed to include folks who otherwise would not have been included. It's another devilishly clever move on their part, he added sardonically. Now, everything he just told you was a lie. Because, you see, no one was going to be excluded. No one was going to be excluded in this thing, folks. Oh, except maybe the people who always get excluded. The elites, like the Intels of the world, the Nikes of the world. Now, Nike doesn't put out a lot of this stuff, but Intel does, folks. And they always find a way, because they give lots of money to Democrats, they always find a way to get special treatment that you and I don't get. You know, like the tax breaks that they get and that kind of thing. Oh, and that, you know, sales tax that we're all paying now that you're seeing that's added to everything you're buying that is making everything more expensive in Oregon. You know that sales tax? Yeah, they got exempted from that too. Everybody, including, and they talk about the rural areas of the state. Folks, the rural areas of the state were not exempted at all. They were only delayed. The same negative impact that we decried of destroying, of how the progressive Democrat leadership of this state had every intention of destroying blue-collar jobs and raising the cost of living for working families so high you got to move outside of the state of Oregon, and all for what? Zero impact on CO2 emissions worldwide. Zero. Now, what the governor has done here is on a whole host of levels, and this story sets all of these levels out, the various agencies and the various things that are going to happen under the governor's executive order. Here's the little old problem. These goals, supposedly, again, this is pollution. It is not pollution. Greenhouse gas emissions are not pollutions, folks. Your CO2, and it's all about CO2. CO2 is not an evil thing. It is a building block of life. Without CO2, you don't live. Without CO2, frankly, you don't eat. Because the grass seed that I grow, that gets shipped to the southern part of America primarily, And to places like China, guess what feeds on that grass seed? Cattle. And guess what happens with cattle? They get slaughtered, and you get to eat their hamburger at fast food restaurants. That's the supply chain, folks. Anyway, the bottom line is that what Kate Brown is going to actually do this time is to actually cap these things, or she's going to try to. You see, they're going to try to do it through administrative rule. All of that has to be, must be approved by the legislature. Now, those are simple votes, but it gives Republicans the opportunity to do what? To first of all, use it as a campaign issue, number one, successfully, if they'll do it the right way. And number two is to walk out again. You see, the Democrats are not going to try to change Oregon's constitution, folks. They know better. They really know better. Anyway, it is a fascinating article, and you should take a good look at it, folks. But the key thing that Kate Brown said that leads me to conclude is she is certainly going to run for re-election. You know what it is? Is the statement she made in this news conference reported in the story. Quote, I'm keeping my commitment to Oregonians, unquote. Now, Kate Brown doesn't tell you the truth about anything. She lies constantly, as every editorial board in this state has pointed out, because of her non-transparency and getting caught at it time and time again. She's serious about this. Now, she's serious when she says she's keeping her commitment to Oregonians. Why? Why would you do that when you lie about everything else, when you're just gaming the system about everything else? Because you have an eye, Kate, don't you, to higher office. You're not done with politics in Oregon. You're going to move right on up the ladder because that's what you care about, isn't it, Kate? Implementing your radical, regressive, totalitarian Marxist agenda at a higher level. Now, where would that higher level be? Congress. And I don't think that Kate Brown is going to be satisfied with the U.S. House of Representatives. No. I think she's looking at Ron Wyden's seat. And the fact that she's continuing to raise money and then she says this ought to tell you everything you need to know. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And when we come back, I'll read you a great email about Biden. You know, Biden cleaned up last night over Crazy Bernie, Sleepy Joe. How is Crazy Bernie going to do in Oregon? Right now he's winning Washington State. You think he'll win Oregon? And how does that impact the next topic we're going to talk about, which is what I wanted to get to yesterday. And it's about how Obamacare has failed. But it's more than Obamacare. It's all these other socialized medicine programs, and the statistics are stunning. Share them with you when you come back. A week, brother. Back in a moment. We'll just see what we're talking about. No, that's not poverty.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back 22 minutes past the top of the hour. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220. If you're looking for a great contractor, let me suggest Eric Azer. His company, Righteous Renovations, Renovations LLC, is a great website that has lots of testimonials. And you know what? This is one of the big things that you really should pay attention to. You just shouldn't let anybody come and work on your home, do a kitchen remodel, do a bathroom remodel, build a deck, or, you know, repair things, fix things, because things break and they, you know, get old and they rot and all of that. Well, Eric Azer is willing to put his faith as a man of God in his name, Righteous Renovations. And check out at his website, righteousrenovations.com, well, all of the testimonials. He does what he says he was going to do. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a good thing. RighteousRenovations.com. Got an email from James, I think. Yeah, Biden. Biden voters. Biden's on a roll, and it's likely his message has moral appeal than Bernie's, James writes. He continues. They're overlooking the gaffes, the creepiness, his corrupt connection to Ukraine, or their mental capacity is no better than Biden himself. Ooh. He says, I would say voters have seen through the free stuff that Bernie thought would get him elected, or all the snowflakes got stoned and couldn't crawl out of their parents' basement. Oh, that's too good. And Dave, who's one of our great grassroots videographers, writes an email. He sent an email that he copied me on to the Marion County Commissioners. And it's about asking them, he says, please join the other commissioners from the other counties protesting the governor signing an executive order on cap and trade. She has no right forcing this on the people without a vote of the people. Be the first county to tell the governor Marion County is a sanctuary county against cap and trade. Oh, I like that. A sanctuary county against cap and trade. Very creative. Kudos. Now, there's a great website called healthcareforyou.com. I want you to check it out. Healthcareforyou.com. It has some stunning statistics. The failure of Obamacare is part of this, but also their plan for making healthcare better in America without going to socialized medicine. Both of these are on this website, okay? But Healthcare for You is the website that talks about how socialized medicine has failed, specifically Obamacare. Under Obamacare, half of Americans have access to two or fewer healthcare plans on the Obamacare exchanges. Nearly one out of five have access to only one plan. Compare that to the numbers of plans that were available. Costs have skyrocketed. The average individual health insurance premiums, average across America, have increased 123% since 2013 alone. Family plan premiums have increased by 174%. We were told that they were all going to decrease. Isn't that what Obama said? Care is restricted. Here's another statistic. Although fewer Americans lack health insurance under Obamacare, the proportion of underinsured, there's a difference between uninsured and underinsured, that measurement, underinsured Americans grew by 44% from 2010 to 2018. Now, why would that be? Well, it's because of Obamacare's restrictions in your choices. You're underinsured because Obamacare does away with a lot. And I tell you, my former wife experienced this when she had to go under Obamacare's plans. Number two, single payer is not a silver bullet. It is a self-destruct option. In Canada and UK, government-run healthcare creates more problems than it solves. Wait lists are long. The healthcare wait list in the UK now stretches to 4.4 million in the UK are waiting. Over a million Canadians. It reduces access. In the U.S., the wait time to see a specialist is less than 20 days. But in Canada, the wait time is 138 days. In the U.K., it's 154 days. Healthcare is rationed. In the U.K., in the 2018-2019 year, nearly 80,000 scheduled medical procedures were canceled the day of for administrative, staffing, and other non-clinical reasons. Can you imagine? First of all, you wait for half of a year, 6 months, to have a scheduled medical procedure, and then the day of it, they cancel it for non-clinical reasons. These are just some of the interesting statistics. Now, there are more, and I'll probably have to share those with you tomorrow because we're kind of at the bottom of the hour now. At the bottom of this hour, Jack Esp joins us. He's a candidate for House District 21, a Republican candidate. They called and they wanted to come on the show, so we'll do that. But probably tomorrow we'll talk about, okay, so if Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All socialized medicine is a failure everywhere it's been tried, especially in Canada, especially in the UK, what's a better plan? Now, this is how the Democrats took over, well, increased their lead in the Oregon legislature, because Republicans in Oregon had no plan to deal with it. And that was part of a national problem. It is how the Democrats got control of the U.S. House of Representatives, because Republicans had all this time to come up with a plan, and they didn't. They couldn't. They squandered the opportunity under the first 2 years of Trump's administration. Well, there is a plan. There are plans. And we're going to talk about those tomorrow because it all relates to what Jack Esp is going to talk about and what he's hearing and what we're going to interview him over in a moment. We'll be back, folks, at 6:30. Jack Esp on the other side of this break.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. We are we're trying to get Jack Esp on the line. There's another story, by the way. In a moment, I'm going to talk to Bruce, who's on the line. But there's a story here that's on OregonWatchdog.com. And it's an opinion piece by the Portland Tribune. If coronavirus slows Oregon's economy, and it probably will, we should reconsider all these new taxes that are not only on the ballot, folks, but maybe we ought to think about suspending the sales tax. Ooh, what would that be like? Let's talk to somebody who might have an opinion about that. And it's another candidate for my old House seat, House District 17. That's Bruce Cuff. Bruce, good morning.
Four,
how are you?
1-3.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
I'm fantastic. And you?
Good, I'm doing good. Hey, I was just calling in about the Kate Brown executive order. Well, she's done that before, and it's called Sanctuary State. She took up anti-profiling bill that's been on the books for years by Atiyah, and she turned it into that Sanctuary State bill. So it's nothing new to her. She doesn't care about the process. She's a dictator, and you're right. We need to get rid of the corporate activities tax, a grocery receipts tax, whatever you want to call it. That's devastating Oregon. And, 2 years ago, they had $20 billion in the general fund This time, they have $24.4 billion. That's a 22% increase, and it's still not enough for them.
It never will be enough.
Go ahead.
Well, primarily, it's not going to be enough because two reasons. The regressive totalitarian Marxists, they have to expand their utopian state vision, right? And number two is they're not going to deal with PERS in any meaningful way. And PERS continues to suck the life out of every state budget and, frankly, out of every local government budget, too.
You know, one of my competitors at House District 17, the very first thing on his agenda is fund education first. That is a naive person right there. That's somebody that doesn't understand they have enough money. It's just all going into the PERS system. And, you know, I believe PERS is a contract. I believe that we need to figure out how to pay that. But taxing businesses out of existence and getting rid of employees who pay 90% of the money into the general fund, every time they run a business out and lose employees, they go backwards. We need to cut taxes on businesses. Get the economy rolling. We need to have more private sector businesses and more employees in Oregon so we're prosperous, so they can actually bring in the revenue to actually pay this requirement that we have. It's $300 billion over a 30-year period. Right now we're $25 billion in the hole. We're not going to get there taxing businesses. They're only 5% of the general fund. Personal income taxes are 90% of the general fund. That's where we should focus maximizing the revenue on if they're going to actually do this. And that'd be a win for businesses, it'd be a win for employees, and it'd be a win for Oregon.
If you had been serving in the Oregon House of Representatives in this last session, would you have taken a walk?
I would have been somewhere warm, I would imagine. Yes, I would be probably playing golf in Arizona or something, you know. I think that was the greatest thing they did. And, of course, yesterday they had a shuffle around. I understand that Herman is not running for re-election. I think he's running for county commissioner. And I think Art Robinson is going to be running for his seat. There's a shuffle going on. I'm excited about it. It's going to be great.
Very good. All right. Look, thanks, Bruce Cuff. And what's your website, by the way?
My website is www.timeforcuff.org, and I would really love your
All right, very good. Bruce, you broke up there a little bit. We're going to let you go. That's Bruce Cuff. You can go check out his website. He's right. There is a reshuffling because, you know what? I have to tell you something at a personal level. This, you know, serving in the legislature is not an easy thing. It comes at a cost. I mean, it clearly does. If you're going to do it the right way, well, then you really need to fully embrace it. And that means you're spending a lot of time away from your family. And I mean a lot of time away from your family. And in doing that, hi there, Jack?
Yes.
Jack, good morning. We have Jack Esp, who's joining us. He's Republican candidate for House District 21. Jack, thanks for joining us this morning. We've only going to have about 8 minutes here, which means I'll probably hold you over through the break. Can you hang on through the break?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So, Jack, first question I always ask people who are running for the legislature anyway is why? Why do you want to serve in the legislature?
I want to help Oregon get out of the circle it's in right now, with the increase in taxes, increase in government regulations on businesses, which are hurting the employment opportunities for the workers in Oregon.
Well, that's a great succinct answer, and I'm glad you did that. So there's a story today in the Portland Tribune that if the coronavirus slows our state's economy, that maybe we ought to cut taxes?
That's a possibility to keep the economy moving. It's being discussed on the federal level also. I am for cutting taxes, but when you cut taxes, you have to cut expenses too. So cutting taxes is only half of the problem.
You're absolutely right about that. Okay. So the question, the second question I always ask, especially Republicans running for the House of Representatives or the Senate, is this. Would you have, if you had been serving in the legislature this last short session, would you have walked out with the rest of your Republican colleagues?
Inasmuch as the Democrats refused to either listen to the Republican amendments or suggestions on the cap and trade bill, as well as refusing to remove the emergency clause and allowing it to go to the public for a vote, I felt that I would, in as much as there was no other options left available.
Fair enough. So as you're campaigning, as you're talking to people, and you're really kind of just, you know, we're all kind of getting into that mode now because we've got a couple of months before we have about 2.5 months before we get to the Republican primary or the primary in Oregon, which includes Republicans. What are you hearing from people?
Dissatisfaction with the way our government is being run right now. I've been on the process of going door to door to collect signatures to get my information in the voter's pamphlet. And what I hear repetitively is, for those Democrats I knock on the door, they say many of them say they are not going to vote Democrat this year.
Why?
Some have said that.
Why?
Why are they not going to vote Democrat?
Yeah.
I can only speculate. And I think it is because of the dictatorial process that the Democrats have used this year in the legislature and last summer also, my way or the highway, totally exemplified by the cap and trade bill when they refused to put any other bills. I believe it's only three bills were passed and signed during that legislature session, and they were holding all the other bills captive on cap and trade. When the Republicans offered to come back Sunday and push through the budget bills and the necessary bills, instead of saying, okay, we will do that, they says, no, we'll adjourn. People don't like that type of thing. They still want a voice in their government, and I think that's what's causing it.
So compare what you're hearing about that right now from Democrats when you go door to door to 2 years ago when you ran and went door to door. Did you hear that 2 years ago?
Not to the extent I am this time. There was some dissatisfaction, but not to this level. 2 years ago, I had doors closed in my face. I'm a Democrat, closed. I wouldn't vote for Republican, closed. I've not heard that once this year.
Now, that's interesting. Has anybody mentioned, especially with the Democrats, have they talked about Trump?
I've had a couple talk about Trump. One of them says, I don't like Trump. I don't like him at all, but I'll sign your petition. Another gentleman said that he was totally anti-Trump, but that doesn't mean he wasn't going to vote Republican. So
fascinating.
I got an encouragement.
Well, look, I think that should be. It should be an encouragement for anybody. Jack, we're talking with Jack Espy. He's a Republican candidate for House District 21. Where is House District 21, by the way, Jack?
House District 21 is a greater part of Salem. Not 100%, but on the gerrymandering of our district, it runs from Hazel Green in the north, Fairview in the south, Cordon Road east, and the river west. But it doesn't encompass all of that area.
Okay. And do you have a website, Jack?
Yes, I do. It's ESP4Oregon2020.us.
Okay. So ESP is spelled ESP.
Correct.
And ESP4Oregon2020.us.
Correct. But the four is the word for.
Is the word for, it's not the number four. Okay, ESP, four, F-O-U-R, Oregon 2020.
No, F-O-R.
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 F-O-R, not F-O-U-R. F-O-R.
No.
Okay. All right, we're going to be back with Jack Asp, and I'll try to get the website correct when we come back at 6:48 in the morning. We're going to ask Jack What are the two top things he wants to try to achieve if he gets elected to the House of Representatives? You're listening to Political Coffee. Back with Jack S. in a moment at 6:48.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. We're going to continue for a couple of minutes with Jack Esp in just a moment. I want to remind you, the Freedom Heating and Air is a great Salem company that can take care of your heat pump, your furnace, other issues that you might have to keep you comfortable. Keep you comfortable from them cold nights. And by the way, over the weekend, I guess we're going to have maybe even the possibility of some snow. Good grief. You know, that's a good reason. Maybe if the old heat pump or the furnace is not keeping up, might be a good reason to call Freedom Heating and Air. Been in business 40 years here in Salem. Freedom Heating and Air. Check them out on the web at freedomheatingandair.net. freedomheatingandair.net. Jack is back with us. Jack S., Republican candidate for House District 21. So what are the top two things that you want to try to achieve if you get elected for your constituents?
It's hard to bring it down to just two, because there are so many things, issues bothering our state right now. But I would have to say the first one I'm concerned about is this runaway increase in taxes and fees. In the summer session last year, they increased taxes, they being the legislature, which amounted to about $2,500 for the average family of four. This cap and trade, which didn't pass, but they're going to keep bringing it up, would add another $400 immediately and up to $600 over time for that same family. Those people on fixed income cannot absorb this continually. We've got to put a rein on this type of thing. The Democrats are looking for any possible way of increasing taxes. A perfect example is the toll tax on the freeways up in Portland. We've already paid for those freeways. We're paying gas tax for maintenance, and now they want to add another tax on top of that, or a fee in this case. This is a ridiculous runaway. We've got to get a control on this and start looking at the other side of the issue of reducing costs. I was a budget officer for 40 years, so I know the equation that the right and the left have to balance, and that is a function of our legislature.
Yeah, it
number
is.
Number two, go ahead, Jeff.
No. Tell me your second one.
The second one, I've got to fall back on schools. The schools in Oregon are failing us. Prior to the gross receipt tax, Oregon was spending one of the highest amounts per student in the nation, and I think it was 47th in graduation rate. There was a problem there, and the legislature approached that only by throwing money at it. I went to a meeting with the state school superintendent and a couple school districts where they were presented after it passed, and I specifically asked the question, what are you going to do with this money? The response was, well, we don't know. We're studying it. In further examination, I find that very little of that money, $1.2 billion a year, is going to reach the average student. It's going to special programs, more teachers. Now, the more teachers might help some. I won't argue with that. But I think we need to do a study of our school system and compare it to the school systems that are doing well and see where we're different from that and where we're failing. Personal opinion, I think Common Core is a disaster for our state and our nation, in as much as it has thrown out so much of our history and civics and is not addressing history. And as we know, history repeats itself. If we can't learn from the mistakes in the past, we're going to make them again.
Excellent. Two main points that you brought forward again, Jack. Give everybody your website address so that they can learn more about you, maybe help out.
All right. I thank you. I need all the help I can get. The website is ESP4FOR Oregon 2020.us.
Very good. Jack, thanks for joining us today, and good luck out there on the campaign trail, and come back again.
Okay, thank you. We'll be
very
happy
good.
To Jack come back anytime.
Jack S., folks, running for House District 21. We've got like 3 or 4 minutes left here, so I do want to read an email that from Roger, Defend 1776, that I thought was important. Because, you know, everything that is in play right now is, in Oregon, is going to be subject to the hype and the hysteria about this thing here. Coronavirus. Here's what Roger writes. Remember all the hysteria about Obama not doing enough to combat H1N1 swine flu virus? It was rapidly spreading throughout the United States during 2009 and 2010 and ended up killing 17,000 people? No, I don't remember it either. It made the news, but not nearly all the hysterical level that currently grips the news media. Because the news media would not even consider the idea of trying everything possible to undermine a Democrat president. But they consider it their sacred duty to do exactly that to a Republican president. Yes, the coronavirus can kill mostly people who already have severe underlying medical issues, people who are 80 years old and are particularly susceptible. I think we will also find concentrations amongst smokers, drug users, and the homeless. But most people who are infected by it will not get very sick, and many will not even know they've had it. Some links from Wikipedia, Reuters, U.S. News, and the CDC that provide some perspective about how this compares to our past experience. As of March 2010, this, you know, 9 years ago, folks, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control estimated that 59 million Americans contracted H1N1. 265,000 were hospitalized as a result, and 12,000 people died. H1N1 swine flu has killed as many as 17,000 Americans, including 1,800 children, the CDC reported on Friday. The CDC predicts that at least 12,000 Americans will die from the flu in any given year. As many as 61,000 people died in the 2017-2018 flu season, and 45 million people were infected. CDC estimates that influenza has resulted in between 9 and 45 million illnesses, and between 140,000 and 810,000 hospitalizations, and between 12,000 and 61,000 deaths annually since 2010. Now, those are all some interesting statistics to keep in mind. The bottom line is this. Kind of as it is with anybody who gets sick, if you have a compromised health condition, you're just flat more susceptible. So take care. Be careful. You might want to just, you know, not go out maybe as much, especially during the flu season. Wash your hands. Don't touch your hands to your face after you've shaken hands. Thanks to everybody. Appreciate all of you for listening today. Be blessed. Get out there. Make it a great day. See you tomorrow.